This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report on attacks on fair housing and affordable housing demands. Talking on Wade's World on KBF with George Washington University sociology professor and frequent author Gregory Squires about his recent piece in Social Policy on the impact of the Occupy movement, he underlined his concern that the desperate impact theory is under review in this term of the U.S. Supreme Court and the threat that decision could hold for fair housing advocates. It's worth the worry. As a Justice Department official noted several months ago, real estate agents, landlords, and others have cleaned up their act so that there is little of what she called pants-down discrimination in what they say, but there is plenty in what they do, and the disparate impact theory has been a prevailing tool to assure fair housing without discrimination. If the impact is discriminatory, regardless of the intent, then it has to stop so that diverse populations do not face housing discrimination. HUD, according to all reports, is hustling to enshrine one single standard for disparate impact in regulations in hopes that the Supreme Court will follow its usual tendency of allowing the government and its regulations to prevail in the separation of powers. Given the recent tendency of the court's majority to bend over backwards and pretending that the days of discrimination are over, it's a valid fear for housing advocates. The justices might be persuaded to temper their 1950s good times or back again viewpoints in the wake of Ferguson and the New York City protests and disturbances, but we certainly can't count on it. We also talked about the ongoing push-out of low- and moderate-income families from executive cities because they can't afford the housing. Squires and the D.C.-based community organization ONE, the Organization of the Northeast, have been campaigning for equitable development and have a second conference on the issue coming to Washington soon. Coincidentally, I had just heard from a colleague studying at the Yale School of Architecture about an assignment they have to try to design 100,000 units of affordable housing in San Francisco. It's not academic when you read recently that experts were referring to the Tenderloin, the San Francisco district known largely for union local headquarters and derelicts over the years, as the last working-class neighborhood in the city. Ottawa Acorn was also in the news on the same kind of issue in Canada, where they are putting on pressure to win inclusionary zoning that would establish affordable housing as a mandatory requirement in any new housing development over a certain size. Ottawa Acorn coordinator Curtis Boltovich said they want inclusionary zoning and hope a private member's bill introduced in Queen's Park by a Liberal MPP is approved. It would give cities the power to mandate a certain percentage of total units as affordable housing and residential development of 20 or more units that require bylaw amendments. We wouldn't have as many ghettos in a city and cities across the province. It would be an affordable enough thing that for developers to do, and it would also show that they are giving back to their communities, Boltovich told CFRA News. He said the time to act is now. In a lot of areas, especially Westboro, you have a lot of empty, beautifully built condominium units, and I was thinking you could easily have those go to inclusionary zoning. He could have added, before it's too late, which increasingly seems to be the crisis we're facing in a number of cities in the U.S. and in places like London and Paris around the globe. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.